welcome to West End United Methodist Church. We're so glad that you're here this morning. Good morning and welcome to West End United Methodist Church. Welcome, we're so glad that you're here. I have a few announcements for you this morning. Tonight at 5 p.m. here in the sanctuary, we'll have a Tazze worship service. It's a beautiful, contemplative service. We'll hope that you'll join us for that. We have a chancel choir concert on December the 7th, so put that on your Advent calendar. It will be a beautiful celebration of music and worship. I know this is the moment you've all been waiting for. Charge Conference. Yes, it's happening. Thursday, this coming Thursday, November the 20th at 6 p.m. in McWhirter Hall. It is something that you don't want to miss. This is the all-church meeting where the district superintendent comes and we learn about the church and what's going on. Please join us for that. I was joking, but it really is a wonderful time to gather. Also, the Legacy of Light Stained Glass Project, this is your last opportunity for all you procrastinators. In the bishop's parlor, you can pick out a piece of stained glass that represents the loving light of Christ, connecting and transforming, and be a part of that celebration. Last but not least, the gourmet market needs cooks and chefs. Each one of you with the gift of cooking can volunteer. We need about 20 still. So in the front receptionist desks or online, you can register. Oh, one more. Donald Davis will be here on Wednesday night for Current. He'll be telling stories. Donald Davis is a world-renowned storyteller from the Appalachian Roots area, and he'll also be hosting a workshop this coming Saturday from 9 till 12. You can register online. Can you feel the presence of the Lord here in the atmosphere? Witness it today.
longing for the touch of God, we cry out, humbled by the awareness of our human nature and brokenness. We bring our prayers of confession to God, praying together. Holy listener, we confess that we are more likely to be disinterested in the lives of others rather than feeling called to love them. When your Spirit calls us to encourage those around us, too often our actions and words discourage them. Christ offers us lives of peace and hope, but instead we live filled with anxiety and despair. Forgive us, Rock of Redemption. Cleanse our hearts so we might be more loving. Keep us on the path of faithfulness so we might find those whom we are called to serve. Give us your words so we might proclaim your hope offered to all who are broken, who are lost, and who cry out to you. This is the good news. God gives us hope. God gives us peace. God gives us joy so we may share these gifts with everyone we meet. Thanks be to God who forgives us and equips us to love others and to serve all who are around us. Amen. Please join with me in our prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. A lesson from the Gospel according to Matthew. For it is as if a man going on a journey summoned his slaves and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. The one who had received the 5 talents went off at once and traded with them and made 5 more talents. In the same way, the one who had the 2 talents made 2 more talents. But the one who had received the 1 talent went off and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. And then the one who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 more talents, saying, Master, you handed over to me 5 talents. See, I have made 5 more talents. His master said to him, Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. And the one with the 2 talents also came forward, saying, Master, you handed over to me 2 talents. See, I have made 2 more talents. His master said to him, Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. And then the one who had received the 1 talent also came forward, saying, Master, I knew that you were a harsh man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you did not scatter seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here you have what is yours. But his master replied, You wicked and lazy slave, you knew, did you, that I reap where I did not sow and gather where I did not scatter? Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and on my return I would have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to the one with the 10 talents. For to all those who have, more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who have nothing, even what they have will be taken away. As for this worthless slave, throw him into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Good morning. If anyone else wants to come up, you're welcome. I love it when you guys sing. It's wonderful. So can anybody tell me what holiday involving food is coming up? Yes, Lily.
Thanksgiving,
exactly. And what are some of your favorite things about Thanksgiving? Yeah, what's your favorite thing?
Turkey.
Turkey, yeah.
I get to go to my grandma and grandpa's house and eat sometimes.
Yeah, you get to go to your grandma and grandpa's house and eat, exactly. What is your favorite thing? See, your cousins, one more thing. What is your favorite thing? To giving thanks, exactly. So it's a time to celebrate being with your family, to eat a lot of really good food. And I have a friend who is Jewish, and what they do every Friday night is they have a worship service, kind of like we do on Sunday morning. And after that worship service, they kind of have a Thanksgiving. It's called Shabbat meal, and they get together. And one of the things they do at this meal is they bless the children. The parents bless the children, and sometimes the parents take their hands and they put it on the head of their child and they bless them. And they say a blessing that you might have heard here. Sometimes I heard it all the time growing up in youth group. So for today's prayer and for today's time together, I would like us to bless one another using the blessing from Numbers 6. So instead of putting our hands on each other's head, because that might get a little rowdy, we're going to hold hands. So hold hands with your neighbor, and I'm going to say the blessing together, and this will be our prayer for this morning. Can I have one of your hands? There we go. Make sure you have somebody's hand. May God bless you and guard you. May the light of God shine upon you. And may God be gracious to you. May the presence of God be with you and give you peace. Now and forevermore. Amen. Thanks for coming down. I can hear the internal groan when you hear the parable of the talents. It's frequently spoken on stewardship campaigns. Don't worry, I'm not still talking about money. The reason why people usually associate this with stewardship is that the word for talent in the original Greek is actually a way to measure weight or a denomination of money, of currency. And so frequently, maybe some interpretations will say that this is the way that you should spend and experience money. But that is not the interpretation for this morning. I don't necessarily think that Jesus is literally talking about how we spend money. Another interpretation you might have for talent in your brain came about in the Middle Ages, and this is talent as ability. So if you are a wonderful singer, if you are a great teacher, if you are the best underwater basket weaver, you should do this for the glory of God as much as possible. This is the backbone of our Protestant work ethic, if you will, and we spend our lives doing a lot of activities in order to invest our talents. But my interpretation for you this morning might bump up a little bit against that. You see, when you're studying a parable, it's always good to put it in context of the entire narrative, in order to do a little bit of literary biblical criticism, if you will. And so I look to see what's before and after this parable, and it's sandwiched between two other parables, the first one being the parable of the 10 bridesmaids. They all have their oil, and they're waiting for the groom to return. And the other parable that's right after this is the parable of the sheep and the goats, and Christ separates the sheep and the goats based on some of their behaviors. All three of these parables have an element of judgment to them. All three of these parables talk about the second coming of Christ. But even more importantly, I think all three of these parables offer a way that we are to live our lives between the times of Christ, between the time when Christ came and between the time when Christ will return. Another part of literary criticism we could do is to look at the different characters in this parable. I think I'm going to start with the master Frequently, we think of the master as being God, this person that has demanding expectations of you, the one that completely abandons you, the one that comes back and pronounces the gauntlet of judgment on the least of these and the one that's the most afraid. That's not who I think God is. And that's not really my interpretation this morning. However, I do know this master character, this taskmaster. The inner critic in your mind, the one that has ridiculously high expectations for you, the one that makes you compare yourself to everyone else. Yep, I know that taskmaster, and I know the taskmaster and other people who have really high expectations for themselves and therefore pronounce that on other people. That's who I think the master is. I also relate to the one who buries their talent out of fear. Prior to my appointment at West End United Methodist Church, I was able to serve as campus minister on both Vanderbilt and Belmont's campus. I love working with college students. It's a beautiful time of authenticity and vocational discernment. They're so vibrant and full of energy. And frequently when you are planning for the year, you invite all your student leaders to get together to plan the Bible studies and the various worship services and activities. And when I would meet with the students, we would talk about what we wanted to do and then all get out our calendars to schedule it all. And it'd be like, we could do that 3 weeks or no, five, well, I have this activity and this lecture series, and I'm actually doing the entire campaign for food justice, and I'm doing this other thing, and that other, and constant extracurriculars and practices and rehearsals. And I thought to myself, gosh, what if campus ministry was just a place where they could come and be themselves and experience a place where they could encounter other people who were able to be themselves? You see, college students aren't the only ones who bury their lives with busyness. I recognize that in my own self. You see, we could see talent as ability. We could see it as some sort of cognitive ability or emotional ability, but I want to go deeper and interpret presence, to interpret talent as a sense of present, being awake, being alive in every moment. John O'Donohue talks about presence as the atmosphere of the spirit. You've noticed this in yourself at times, I'm sure. But it also exists in buildings, in animals. When I walk downtown into the Skirmerhorn Symphony Center, the building has a different presence about it. When I used to dog sit for big families, their house had a different presence than my apartment. It's just music. It has presence to it. A song can wash over you, and you can experience the spirit of it, being awake and being alive. You see, the person with the two talents is able to understand their own presence, I think. Psychiatrist Dan Siegel has a meditation that he has some of his clients do, and put your feet on the ground, breathe deeply like all meditations begin. Imagine yourself on the surface of the ocean, walking back and forth and back and forth, and then breathe deeper and sink below the surface of the ocean, going down deeper and deeper. Experience the calm presence under the surface. I think the person who's able to invest their two talents is able to recognize what John was talking about in your sermon last week of being deeply loved and held by a deeply loving God. The person with the five talents, I think, is not only able to recognize the presence of themselves, to be fully present, but is able to help others to be fully present and recognize them. A poet and actor, Carlos Gonzalez, has done a lot of writing on male identity, in particular male friendships. And in it, he talks about how some of his male friendships he wishes could be deeper, more intimate, and the difficulty of that. And so in that difficulty, he decided to write 25 things I love most about my best friend and give it to him. That not only increased the intimacy of their friendship, but it also celebrated, deeply celebrated his friend. I think that celebration is one of the most intense ways we can experience human presence. When we have a birthday party, we lift up that person and say, "We're so glad that you're here on this earth." When we celebrate an achievement, we lift up that achievement and say, "This is good. This is the Spirit. This is holy." You see, I don't think that the master in this character is God, but God is in the story. God is telling the story, and God's saying, "I'm going to leave, but I'm not really leaving because I am giving you the gift of my presence. I'm giving you the ability to be together, to celebrate my presence." And so when we come on Sunday morning and we lift up the bread and we say, in this completely mundane thing of bread, we say, "This is the presence of God." And we lift up the juice and we say, "This, God is in this. Come, eat, take it into your bodies." But don't stop there. Take it into the world. Celebrate God's presence in your daily lives. Be open, awake to the presence of God. John O'Donohue has a blessing, and I'd like to close by blessing you all with the ability to recognize and experience presence. "May you awaken to the mystery of being here and enter the quiet immensity of your own presence. May you have joy and peace in the temple of your senses. May you receive great encouragement when new frontiers beckon you. May you respond to the call of your gift and find the courage to follow its path. May warmth of heart keep your presence aflame, and may anxiety never linger about you. May your outer dignity mirror the inner dignity of your soul. May you take time to celebrate the quiet miracles that seek no attention. May you be consoled in the secret symmetry of your soul. May you experience each day as a sacred gift woven around the heart of wonder." And so may we celebrate the presence of God in our lives and share that with one another in the world. Thanks be to God. If you'll stand as you're able and join with me in the United Methodist affirmation. It's on page 886 in your hymnal. "We believe in God, creator of the world and of all people, and in Jesus Christ incarnate among us, who died and rose again, and in the Holy Spirit, present with us to guide, strengthen, and comfort.
We believe, God help our unbelief.
We rejoice in every sign of God's kingdom, in the upholding of human dignity and community, in every expression of love, justice, and reconciliation, in each act of self-giving on behalf of others, in the abundance of God's gifts entrusted to us, that we all may have enough in all responsible use of the earth's resources.
Glory be to God on high, and on earth, peace.
We confess our sin, individual and collective, by silence or action, through the violation of human dignity based on race, class, age, sex, nation, or faith, through the exploitation of people because of greed and indifference, through the misuse of power in personal, communal, national, and international life, through the search for security by those military and economic forces that threaten human existence, through the abuse of technology which endangers the earth and all life upon it.
Lord, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
We commit ourselves individually and as a community to the way of Christ, to take up the cross, to seek abundant life for all humanity, to struggle for peace with justice and freedom, to risk ourselves in faith, hope, and love, praying that God's kingdom may come.
Thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven.
Amen.
In It is with great joy, of course, that we welcome everyone who's gathered here together in worship. Your presence is a gift. If you are a guest, we invite you to join us out in Reed Hall, these doors to your right, after the service for a time of fellowship to say hello, to meet a few people. And if this is your first visit with us, we invite you to stop by the Bread for the Journey table and pick up a small loaf of bread, just as a token of appreciation for your presence with us this day. If you look directly in front of you in the pew racks, there's a small gray card. One side of that document is for prayer concerns that enjoys that will be shared in confidential prayer staff meetings or publicly printed in the bulletin. Just check confidential if you'd like those to be kept quiet. The other side of that card is for questions or comments for staff or lay leadership of the church. You can complete those, and then when the offering plates come around in just a few moments, drop those in the plates. If at this time you've not yet passed the attendance pads down your pew, please do that now, and as it comes by, record your attendance. But just as importantly, as it comes back by, open it up and look at the names of the people who are worshiping with you on this day. Following the service, say hello, call them by name. You're both present. That's part of being the body of Christ here. On this day, our condolences are expressed to the family of Barbara Howard Burris, who died Thursday, November 13th. A great celebration of her life will be held tomorrow, Monday, at 11:30 here in the sanctuary, and we'll have a visitation in Reed Hall preceding that begins at 10. So visitation's 10, the celebration of her life begins at 11:30 in here. Prepare us now, O God, to hear you speak to us as we lift up both our silent and our spoken prayers. May the Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Loving God, we give you thanks for all of your gifts to us, for daily food, for health, and for each breath we take, for the freedom to choose, and for the gifts of your community and your love. Our hearts are truly overwhelmed when we consider all that you are and how you have entrusted so much to our care. May we be worthy of that trust. May we be a people who are unafraid to live life as fully and as richly as you desire us to live. Help us to multiply all that you've given us, to risk spreading your message by risking loving those whom others might not think worthy of being loved, to take chances of doing things for the benefit of others, even those who are likely not to be able to return the gift. Help us to be faith-filled in our desire to spread your loving light and goodness on this planet. Make us ones who share in both our words and our actions that which you have given to us. We pray for this church, all of those people gathered here, that we may encourage each other to discover, discern, and develop our gifts. We pray for those who are poor in body and spirit, for those who are oppressed or heavy laden, and for those who are sick or those who despair. Use us to be channels of your care for all those whom we have prayed and lifted up, and help us walk faithfully in the path of love that you showed the world through Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray together as one family. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy will be done, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our God of abundance fills us with good things, satisfies our thirsts, and meets our every need. From God, truly, all of our blessings flow. We ask God to accept what we offer in return, our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness. I would like to invite the congregation to please be seated as our candidate for membership makes her way to the front. We had a wonderful family. The Rutterers joined this morning. They're very active in the Making Room Sunday School class. They joined in the early service. And this is Amy Schufer. Amy is in the music department at Ravenwood High School, and she leads the band, and she has been a wonderful gift to that high school. She's been worshiping with us for quite a while. She has just been so busy. This is finally that she has a chance to be here and join, so your presence is a treat. Amy is already a United Methodist, probably far too United Methodist. Her father's a United Methodist pastor, and she's coming from First United Methodist Church in Waynesville, North Carolina. So we're glad you're here. Amy, I have one question for you. As a member of the body of Christ in this congregation, will you faithfully serve Christ through your participation in its ministries, through your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness, so that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ? Great. Then I ask the congregation, will you stand and join me in affirming our newest member? Brothers and sisters, do all in your power to uphold Amy, to increase her faith, confirm her hope, and perfect her in love.
We give thanks for all that God has already given you, and welcome you to Christian Love as members of Wesleyan United Methodist Church. As members together in the body of Christ, we renew our covenant to participate faithfully in the life and ministries of Christ's Holy Church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, that in everything God may be glorified.
Every time someone joins our midst, we all reaffirm our own membership covenant. That really is a nice communal feel. Amy, may the God of all grace strengthen you through the power of the Holy Spirit, that together we may live as faithful disciples all of our lives. We're glad that you're here. Bless you.
Thank you.
now, may you rejoice in the image of God the Creator. Celebrate the presence of Christ the Redeemer and discover the Spirit in the world. Go in peace.